Hi, welcome back to Sports Central. Man, Penn State football season, 5.5 weeks away. College football just right around the corner. Tobias Wilborn covers PSU for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. What's going on with you today, buddy? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing all right, man. I'm actually taking a couple days. I'm in Atlanta visiting with some family before we get back ready for media day, I guess August 7th, and then get ready for starting the camp with the 6th, right?
I appreciate you joining us all the way down from Atlanta. I want to ask you, what are you most looking forward to finding out and seeing about this Penn State football team? It's an open question. You can answer any way you want, but going into the season, a lot of people think Penn State's going to be really good. I think there are some concerns, but what are you most looking forward to seeing?
Who is Sean Clifford? Is he the guy that took Penn State to that Cotton Bowl back in 2019, which feels like 10 years ago in some ways because of everything we've been through as a society? Or is he the guy last year who got replaced with Will Levis, and then Will Levis got replaced by him and then really never got it together? Maybe he's somewhere in between. I don't know. But to me, everything starts and ends with Sean Clifford.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer. I would echo all of those sentiments. I'll add another element here of Mike Yurcich and the offense, because I think whatever we think Sean Clifford is based on who he has been, I think we can kind of forget that. I think that he is going to be put in a situation by this offensive coordinator that we have really not seen at Penn State before. Now, there's a Twitter video going out right now showing Penn State's highlights against Wisconsin in the 2016 Big Ten Championship game with Trace McSorley going wild and throwing TD passes everywhere. We saw a great offense in 2016, don't get me wrong. But this is not going to be that. This is going to be a fast-paced, get rid of the ball quickly, take a lot of shots downfield. Now, we did see that in 2016. That's what I'm looking forward to, Tobias, is I want to see this guy try to step on people's throats, to be perfectly honest with you. I want to see Mike Yurcich coming out and having Sean Clifford gunsling the ball all over the place.
I mean, I tell you what, if Penn State can do that, then, yeah, you're talking about the type of Penn State team that could go into Camp Randall Stadium and beat a tough Wisconsin team, which, by the way, being at media days was kind of interesting because the Wisconsin guys, they've already started watching the film. Obviously, Penn State started watching the film on them. It's kind of interesting talking to Coach Chris. I mean, that's going to be a huge game, man. I'm excited for that because, I mean, it's one of those big test games for both teams. But, yeah, if that's what Penn State's offense can be, then, yeah, I think they could beat any team in the conference. Maybe even those mean guys in Scarlet and Gray from Columbus, man.
The interesting thing to me, though, is I think that's what Penn State's offense can be at some point. I don't think it's going to be that against Wisconsin. I don't think it's going to be that against Auburn. They can still win these games. I think it's going to take several games getting into the flow. The pieces are there, but it does take time. Even back in 2016 with Joe Moorhead and Trace McSorley and Saquon and all these guys, we didn't see that Penn State offense until, you know, we saw it the second half against Pitt, but we didn't really see it get going until 4 or 5 games into the season. And so to me, I'm very hopeful and optimistic that this Penn State offense can be highly explosive. But I also think they're going to have maybe 2 losses before we get to that point, either Wisconsin and or Iowa in Week 5, depending on what happens with Auburn, Indiana. Who knows? I think we're gonna see a couple of losses already before Penn State really kicks it into gear.
I mean, and those are the kind of things that could happen. And again, it's really tough to know because we also don't know where those teams are either. You know, so Penn State's going to have their stuff. Their struggles. Remember Auburn, they're going to have a different quarterback most likely. Actually, oddly enough, somebody who Penn State was after didn't work out, which, now if you talk about concerns for Penn State, not having a backup quarterback really in place is a concern. Is Kristen Ballou ready to play? Tecon Robinson ready? And if neither one of them, what happens with Sean Clifford? Another thing I think you got to talk about with Penn State too, one of the things, you may actually, we're going to get to this, but I'm curious to see how COVID-19 plays with all this, man. Penn State seems to have high vaccination rates. They wouldn't give us an exact number, but they seem to be pretty high. All three players they brought to media today were vaccinated, and James Franklin made a point to say, I can only bring vaccinated players to this.
That is such a fascinating topic. If we want to dive into the social aspect of that, look, there are people out there that don't want to get the vaccine. If you're listening to me, folks, maybe a lot of you don't want to get the vaccine, or your loved ones. Nubias, I don't know if you've got the vaccine or not. Maybe you don't want. Don't want.
Listen, I got it as soon as I could, brother.
Okay,
my
mindset on the vaccine is I just simply don't understand anybody who would not want to get it. I just
agree with you, Corey.
And if that the world we live in, man, is. I have to respect people's decisions. Folks, don't call in saying, well, I'm not getting it for this reason. Fine. Whatever your decision is, I'll respect it. But I can disagree with it.
And also give me 6 feet of distance if you aren't. I mean, I'm not trying to be rude to anybody, but I am concerned about passing it to someone as someone who is vaccinated. I would hate to be in a situation where I may be an asymptomatic carrier and not know it and then give it to someone who it could really do some damage to. So, But James Franklin, bringing back to the football, he said it straight up. Hey, if your team doesn't have the right vaccination rates, it could be a competitive disadvantage.
Yeah.
If you are a player or in a position group that maybe isn't that big of a position group and you guys are all sharing space and one of you gets COVID and now the contact tracing goes, that could be your whole position group.
Hey, look, Wisconsin, Penn State's opener, they had to have three games, I believe, last year.
Yeah.
Canceled, just starting Absolutely. And stopping. I mean, Wisconsin at various times last year looked phenomenal, and then they wouldn't play for a week or two, and it was just bizarre. But I fully expect, I don't know if it'll be Penn State. They got lucky, knock on wood, last year, not having any games postponed. I fully expect COVID to still play a major role in college football this season with regards to either postponements or – As you were saying, you're playing a team and five of their best players aren't playing. I still think we're going to be dealing with that this fall.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be a thing. I mean, because as you said earlier, you know, you look at the rates, Pennsylvania is one of the states that's doing better. I'm down south and it is not going great down here. People aren't masking. People aren't masking or vaccinating, and numbers are skyrocketing. I mean, at this point, Corey, I mean, we'll be lucky if we have a season. We say we're going to have 107 in Beaver Stadium, and I hope we do.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. But with the football, but if we're just talking about the ball, I mean, yeah, there are absolutely going to be some games that are going to be impacted by this because you got to remember, a lot of these campuses aren't requiring vaccines.
That came up with a buddy of mine the other day, maybe I think yesterday, about are we going to see 107,000? Because now we're talking about people masking again, even indoors or what have you, in various places, and we'll see. But look, Penn State's selling tickets. They're selling all these tickets already. Do you think that by the middle of the season, we're going to have to see mitigation efforts back at Beaver Stadium, and maybe they're at 30, 50, 70,000, whatever? Or do you think that that we get lucky and maybe Penn State is at 107,000 all year?
I mean, it'll be by the grace of God or whatever you believe in, Corey, because, you know, listen, I'm not a doctor or any of that stuff. I don't work for the CDC, but I can read, Corey, and I pay attention to what's going on. And these numbers are skyrocketing, and it's summertime. And it hadn't even gotten cold yet, Corey. We hadn't gotten cold and flu season yet, man. I mean, if people don't get vaccinated, there will be some limitations to these football games because the games are going to happen. We saw that last year. They're going to play these games, okay? Football and college basketball will happen, NFL, NBA. If it's something they can put on TV and make money on TV, they'll do it with or without fans. They want the fans there. But, you know, if the greater society doesn't want to get it together, then it'll be a suffer. And remember, we know how much money the City of State College lost last year because there weren't fans, over $150 million. They want to try to recoup some of that money back, but to make it all happen, we got to get it together with this thing, and that all ties into the Penn State program, what it means to the city, what it means to the state, and if it could be as effective as possible. Because, yeah, we don't know. We hope, but we do not know, Corey.
Yeah, it is interesting. And we're here in late July. Anubias Wilborn from the Post-Gazette joins us. And, we were so hopeful a month or so ago when everybody says, okay, 107,000, we'll be back. And we're starting to plan for that. But this virus has shown us, no matter what you're planning for 2-3 months down the road, you just never know, man. So, Nobias, I want to get your thoughts real quick here. I got 1 minute to go. The Vegas number out there that I'm seeing is 9 wins. Now, I'm not asking you to make a sports betting pick, but wink, wink, which way would you tell folks they need to be leaning, over or under 9 wins?
Can I push?
No.
Okay.
That's the thing about nine. Nine is such an awful number. Let's go 8.5. I'll give you 8.5. How about that?
All right, you say 8.5. All right, I'll take the over on that.
You're going to go over 8.5. All right, okay, go ahead. How come?
Well, because here's the thing. Even, again, unless I hammer on Clifford there a little bit, I mean, if you look at that Penn State linebacking core, you look at the defensive line, you look at secondary, you look at the wide receiver unit. Now, of course, yeah, there's always concern about that offensive line. We'll see if that's going to be better because that's always been a thing. But if you look at the majority of units that Penn State has, they're amongst the best in the country. I mean, for goodness sakes, they have 3 running backs on the Doak Walker list, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got a lot of talent.
Receiver, secondary.
Building, brother.
I will say this. I picked them to go 9-3. I picked that in January. And I can go public with my prediction of 9-3. But you wouldn't get me betting over 8.5. And if it were my own money, I think too many things could go wrong. Because I went between 9-3 and 8-4. I went 9-3 to try to be optimistic. But if it were my money, too many things could go wrong that could equal 8 wins with that schedule.
I mean, hey, it's not an easy schedule. But again, maybe Penn State gets fortunate. They go up to Camp Randall to get a win. They're able to do what they need against Ball State. And then Auburn. There's concerns about Auburn. They got some issues, so maybe this could be a year. They come out of those 3 games, 2-1, 3-0, then, yeah, I think 9 is very reachable. But it's not an easy schedule. I think Michigan's going to be better than they were. Michigan State's going to be better. Ohio State is who they are. They play a tough Iowa team that beat the heck out of them last year in Beaver Stadium. So, yeah, it ain't easy, brother.
Great stuff, buddy. That's a fantastic discussion. I appreciate your time. Enjoy your time down in Atlanta, man.
Man, thank you, brother.
All right, good stuff. Nubias Wilborn from the Post-Gazette.